In March 1979, a reactor at the Three Mile Island nuclear facility partially melted down. And there was a lot of confusion about what that meant for public safety and health.
I was just scared about my life and losing my family.
I'm Carol Holzapfel. This week on the Allegheny Front, a look back at Three Mile Island on the 40th anniversary of the accident. We'll hear from residents near Harrisburg who still live near the plant.
It's kind of like living with a giant in your neighborhood. You know it's there. You know it could cause you problems, but you live in an uneasy compromise.
And consider the consequences if the struggling plant and others like it in Pennsylvania are powered down.
If nuclear retires immediately, we would probably replace it with natural gas generation because we haven't sufficiently planned to replace it with something cleaner.
A special Allegheny Front show about Three Mile Island. Stay with us. Before we get into our Three Mile Island coverage, we have this news. State officials are looking into whether there's a cancer cluster in Washington County. The Pennsylvania Department of Health says several cases of a rare cancer have been documented in one school district south of Pittsburgh. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Fraser reports some are wondering if pollution could be the cause.
The Department of Health says there have been four cases of Ewing sarcoma in the past decade in the Cannon McMillan School District. Ewing sarcoma is a kind of tumor that forms in bone and soft tissue, mainly in children and young adults. There are only about 200 new cases a year in the U.S. There are no proven environmental causes for the disease, which is potentially fatal. But the department says it's responding to residents worried about, quote, possible environmental risk factors. The district includes a former radium and uranium plant in Canonsburg, and it's also in one of the state's busiest natural gas producing areas. Raina Ripple is with the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project, which monitors health complaints from people living near oil and gas.
People see a lot of industrial development. They know the legacy pollution that exists in Canonsburg. And I think this raises a lot of fears.
Results are expected within a month. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Fraser.
The accident at Three Mile Island Nuclear Generating Station hasn't been forgotten, especially by a small group of protesters gathered outside the plant on March 28th. The 40th anniversary of the partial meltdown of the facility's Unit 2 reactor. WITF's Tim Lambert reports a moment of silence was held, along with a symbolic act of civil disobedience.
Numbering less than two dozen, they held candles and signs as they stood on public property, mere feet from a yellow line marking the entrance to the north gate of the plant. At 3:52 a.m., they bowed their heads in remembrance of the exact time of the nation's worst nuclear accident. Moments later, activist Gene Stilp crossed that yellow line and kept backing up until he was arrested by two state troopers.
The only thing that separates civil disobedience from the obedient is the yellow line, okay? Drawn by the utility right here, all right? Drawn by the utility right here. So sometimes you have to teach the younger generation that they have to come out and cross a line to make a point.
Paula Kinney, who lives within the five-mile radius of the plant, says this is her 39th year of participating in the annual vigil. She calls a proposed bailout of the nuclear industry under consideration at the state capitol absurd. The protesters were joined by several women from Japan who survived the Fukushima nuclear meltdown in 2011 after a major earthquake and tsunami. In Middletown, Dauphin County, I'm Tim Lambert.
Protests over nuclear power grew out of the World War II bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Cold War with the Soviet Union. Then came the worst nuclear accident in U.S. history.
Met-Ed Company officials had to shut down their Three Mile Island nuclear power station unit number 2 this morning after an accident occurred within the plant's turbine system.
A partial meltdown at the plant near Harrisburg on March 28, 1979, sparked a major anti-nuclear backlash, halting the industry's growth in the U.S. for decades. As State Impact Pennsylvania's Marie Cusick reports, there's now a big push to keep nuclear plants open.
The Three Mile Island accident sparked confusion and fear, partly because public officials had such a hard time explaining what was happening. 2 days after the meltdown, even the governor, Dick Thornburgh, struggled to answer basic questions.
It is a very difficult thing to pin these facts down so that we can give you some kind of bundle of reliable information.
The accident happened on a Wednesday, and by the end of that weekend, an estimated 80,000 people had fled the area. Joyce Karate was a young mother of four living in Middletown, a few miles from the plant. She says her most vivid memory is pulling out of her driveway, wondering if her life would ever be the same.
I took our marriage certificate and I took our children's birth certificates. I was concerned that if in the confusion things really got bad, that I could prove those were my children and that we could at least be together.
Although a small amount of radiation was released, in the end, it wasn't a disaster. In the 1980s, Three Mile Island reopened, minus the one damaged reactor. Although some of her friends moved away, Karate still lives in the same house, but feels the plant always looming in the background.
It's kind of like living with a giant in your neighborhood. You know it's there. You know it could cause you problems, but you live in an uneasy compromise.
That compromise is being tested as the nuclear industry faces new challenges like high operating costs, stagnant demand for electricity, and competition from cheaper natural gas and renewables. Exelon, which owns the plant's still functional Unit 1 reactor, says Three Mile Island has been losing money for years. The company plans to close the plant this fall. But Exelon executive David Fine says losing so much carbon-free electricity would be a major blow to efforts to address climate change.
It's something that if we hope to do anything about it, then we have to preserve all the nation's nuclear stations.
Nuclear provides about 20% of the nation's electricity, but across the country, nearly a third of existing plants are either unprofitable or scheduled to close. Pennsylvania's five plants account for about 93% of the state's carbon-free power. Mark Gibist with the Natural Resources Defense Council says without new policies, there could be more greenhouse gas emissions.
We're at a point where if nuclear retires immediately, we would probably replace it with natural gas generation because we haven't sufficiently planned to replace it with something cleaner.
All of this has led to a big push to keep nuclear plants online. Other states, including New York, Illinois, New Jersey, and Connecticut, have recently given billions of dollars in subsidies to keep their nuclear plants open. Christina Simeone with the University of Pennsylvania's Kleinman Center for Energy Policy thinks governments should step in.
And once you close a nuclear plant, that's a permanent result. I personally do think it is important to keep these plants online for the zero carbon power.
In addition to Three Mile Island, First Energy's Beaver Valley plant outside Pittsburgh is also slated for an early retirement. State Representative Thomas Mahaffey, a Dauphin County Republican, recently introduced a bill to try to keep the plants open.
If we lose one or more of these plants, we might as well just forget about all the time and money we've invested into wind and solar.
But the bill faces major opposition from groups like the growing natural gas industry, which stands to gain if nuclear plants close, and the AARP, which says the move would hurt ratepayers. As someone who lived through the Three Mile Island accident, Joyce Karate would be happier to see the plant close. But because the U.S. still has no real plan to deal with its radioactive nuclear waste, it will be stored at the plant, sitting in her town indefinitely.
I find that really 40 years down the road, I'm still sitting on top of a plant that has all the waste, a plant that cannot sell its electricity, and there's still no real answers.
Marie Cusick, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
Japan has its own history of nuclear energy accidents. The disaster at the Fukushima Daiichi plant helped turn many people away from nuclear power there.
I'm preparing my children's future, one in which they don't have to rely on nuclear power.
Coming up later on the Allegheny Front, the legacy of trauma and nuclear waste from one of the world's worst nuclear disasters. Stay tuned. When the reactor at the Three Mile Island nuclear generating station partially melted down in 1979, Chuck Kern lived and worked nearby. And he kept an audio diary of the historic event. When he started his recording on a handheld device, Kern was the controller and personnel manager for a local bedding manufacturer near Harrisburg. He heard about the accident at work.
I was shocked. I was scared.
Kern listened to news updates on the radio and tried to make calls to the company's retail stores, but the phones were tied up and he couldn't even get a dial tone. 40 years later, Kern is a forensic accountant and talking about his experience. What were your initial thoughts about it?
I was 33 at the time. Not too many years out of graduate school and all that sort of thing. And the belief was at the time, and I was young, so anything new was good and anything old was just people being old fuddy-duds. I was probably, and I'm not saying I'm not a proponent of nuclear power now. I'm just saying that at the time, all the publicity was quite favorable. When you're faced with, part of the problem was the coverage at the time. You had the people from the utility company saying one thing. You had Denton from the Atomic Energy Commission saying exactly the opposite. And then you had the governor, Thornburg, coming up and admitting that he actually didn't know who was right and who wasn't.
Yeah, you were told, the public was told by the media that there had been a high level of radiation release sometime after the incident. Then officials with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said, no, everything's okay, but people should stay indoors. Here's what you said about it then.
They just responded with terms and so forth that were technical and just beyond the comprehension of anybody. They get into discussions of millirams and megarams and rams and rams per hour.
You know, it's you're trying to believe people who are on the radio who are authorities, but you don't really know, and they're not saying the same thing. They're conflicting. And if there is radiation, I think I probably knew or thought I knew that, you know, it does penetrate buildings.
You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. It's terrible. You just, I say yesterday, I wish to hell the stuff was purple.
You know, if you're being attacked or if there's wildfires going or there are tornadoes coming or flooding or whatever it is, or if you're in a war situation, you can see and sense and feel, if you will, the enemy. You know, you can't see the radiation.
So what did you do? Did you stay indoors?
I'm the youngest of a large family. Quite a few of us were gathered at my one sister's home on, I think it was a Saturday right after the accident. And we weren't talking about the accident. We were just trying to have a good time and some laughs. Then my sister's next-door neighbor came in and asked us if we were listening to NBC News, and we said no. And he said, well, turn it on. They're ordering an evacuation. And what they were ordering was, or I don't even know if they called it an evacuation, they recommended that pregnant ladies and people with preschool-age children should leave the area. So that convinced me to leave. Now, prior to that, at my workplace, we had 125 employees, and roughly, and they were all very nervous and concerned. So we held a meeting and told them that, you know, nobody knows for sure what's happening or how it's going to end. If you decide you want to leave and everything works out well here, if you want to come back and come back, your jobs will be here. If it doesn't work out well, God bless you.
In the end, the government says the amount of radiation released during the Three Mile Island accident never exceeded unacceptable levels. But Chuck Kern, like many others in the area, ended up evacuating for a few days until they felt sure they were out of danger.
Probably in perspective, I was only this frightened once before in my life, and that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis when President Kennedy put a blockade around Cuba and put the military on full alert.
Then they returned. And life went on.
Everybody's confident. People are smiling. People are happy. People are back to work. It's almost back to normal, which is very good.
I'm curious about, like, right after the incident, if you felt differently than you had felt before about nuclear power, if you felt like it was less reliable or if you felt like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just scared about my life and losing my family, losing my occupation, having to start life over. You know, if you've just had that experience, then you're not going to be so inclined to just say, oh, yeah, I still think nuclear power is great. Let's do it.
Do you think that we have learned something from that accident?
Well, yes, I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Nothing is foolproof. You know, it reminds me when you ask that question, like one thing we see in the news a lot about lately is driverless automobiles. Well, have you ever heard about a computer glitch? Okay, well, those cars are going to have accidents. No system, I'm sure, is foolproof. And, you know, I think most human beings are pretty well-intended. But things will happen. Things will go wrong. And that's the nature of life.
Chuck Kern kept an audio diary of his thoughts as events around the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island were unfolding in March of 1979. He says when it was all over, he threw a party, complete with a cake with frosting and cupcakes made to look like the reactor towers. There's more of our coverage of the Three Mile Island nuclear accident at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple. We've heard a few viewpoints about nuclear energy in light of the accident at Three Mile Island. Well, a new poll reveals more about what Pennsylvanians think of nuclear energy and how they feel about the state bailing out the industry. The poll was conducted by Franklin and Marshall in partnership with PA Post, and the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier is here to talk with me about the results. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Kara.
The poll found that Pennsylvania registered voters generally support nuclear energy. Tell me more about that.
About 55% of Pennsylvanians either strongly or somewhat support nuclear as a sort of part of the long-term energy mix. And that's opposed to only 32% who are somewhat or strongly opposed to it. So it's sort of above water in Pennsylvania, you know, as a sort of a general thing by about 20 points, which is pretty widespread support.
But the poll found that on the question of whether the state should prop up the struggling plants, that support was mixed. What does that mean?
So just a quick background about what that support could mean. There's a bill before the state legislature that would include nuclear as a form of alternative energy, and it would allow a couple of these plants to remain running for a little while longer, at least. And the poll was basically about half and half. Half the people supported that plan, half said they opposed it or didn't know. And interestingly, when it comes to strong support or strong opposition, that was about even, about 18 or 17% either strongly supported that idea or strongly opposed it. So really what you see is kind of an even split on that issue.
Well, how do you explain these results? Why is the public so mixed on nuclear energy?
Well, I talked with Burwood Yost, the director of the Center for Opinion Research at Franklin and Marshall College, which did the poll. And he said that basically what you're seeing is the public doesn't know that much about nuclear energy. Very few people knew with certainty that it's the top source of carbon-free electricity in Pennsylvania, which it is by a very wide margin. It makes up about 90% of carbon-free electricity in the state. And here's what he said about why that could be.
It's hard to build a lot of momentum and support for something if it's not discussed frequently. It's not in the news, really, and there's been no real advocates for nuclear energy that are high profile.
So I got to talk to a few people who took the poll, and I asked them what they thought about nuclear power. And one of the people I talked to was this gentleman, David Lutz of Swickley near Pittsburgh. And here's what he had to say about it.
I used to think it was the perfect answer to much of our energy, but I'm a little afraid of it now.
Because of things like Fukushima or Three Mile Island?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and that's the kind of reticence we've heard from some of the other stories in today's show.
Right, exactly. These are the big ticket news items about nuclear that kind of stick in the public imagination. But what's not really understood so well is
that this is a huge source of carbon-free electricity. It's about 40% of the electricity in the state. And I told Lutz that. I broke it down. You know, nuclear is 40% of the state's electricity. Combined, renewables are like 4% or something around there. And that seemed to change his mind on the topic a little bit. But the climate aspect or the climate benefits of nuclear didn't really sway everyone I talked to, even people who are really concerned about climate change. One person I talked to was Deb Bensel of Philadelphia. She's really worried about climate change, but she's not so sold on a program that would bail out or prop up the nuclear industry. And here's what she said.
I just feel like sometimes these conversations happen in a vacuum, and instead of looking at all of the possibilities, we are going to zero in on like one thing. So even just beyond solar and wind, there's geothermals we could be looking at. And more importantly, looking at actually reducing energy consumption in general isn't something that ever gets discussed.
She added one big caveat. She doesn't know all that much about nuclear energy or any of the bills being circulated in Harrisburg. And what this poll really shows is she's not alone there.
Well, thanks, Reid.
Thank you.
Reid Frazier reports on energy for the Allegheny Front and State Impact Pennsylvania. You can see the poll results for yourself at alleghenyfront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapel. The partial meltdown at Three Mile Island didn't lead to large releases of radiation, but as we heard earlier, it helped turn public opinion away from nuclear energy. In Japan, a far more devastating nuclear disaster occurred 8 years ago. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips traveled to the site of that accident on Japan's east coast and learned how the incident had a similar impact.
Everyone in Japan knows where they were on March 11th, 2011.
We had nothing in our hands. We just ran away.
Hiroshi Miura was working. He's a rice farmer who lived and farmed along the Pacific coast in Fukushima Prefecture. In March 2011, the world's fourth largest earthquake ever measured struck here. It was quickly followed by a devastating tsunami. More than 16,000 people died.
The people who ran to the top of that hill, where there's a shrine, they survived. But the people in the cars, they died.
Miura and his family survived, but he says 68 of his neighbors washed away. The giant waves led to a meltdown at the nearby Daiichi nuclear power plant. Miura was one of about 154,000 people who fled the radioactive fallout. Like a lot of people in Japan today, Miura opposes all nuclear energy.
The age of nuclear power is over.
Today, Miura's fields are covered with solar panels. Like a lot of farmers near the plant, he can make more money using his land as a solar field than growing rice. Nearby, workers are building a seawall to protect the area from future tsunamis. They are also removing contaminated soil, bagging it in white plastic, and stacking it in fields along the nearby highway, where it will remain for decades.
This is a crazy road.
Driving through the mountains with my translator, Hiro Sasso, we're further inland, and there are still signs telling us not to linger. The area contains high levels of radiation.
Whoa!
We pass abandoned homes nestled in red cedar forests. Toys lie scattered among high weeds. Metal gates with warning signs block access to driveways or smaller roads. Digital billboards display how much radiation we're being exposed to. Yuji Onuma and his wife and two sons now live away from the coast, on the other side of the mountains. Onuma used to live in Futaba, about 3 or 4 kilometers from the Daiichi nuclear power plant. But right now, He's in a town that is as far away from any of Japan's 54 nuclear power plants as he can possibly be. Onuma shows me a picture of when he was about 12 years old, getting an award from the town mayor. His teacher had asked the kids to come up with a town slogan. In a place where everyone depended on the nearby nuclear plant for work, Onuma's entry won. Atomic power, energy for a bright future, became the slogan on an archway over the town's main street.
I was very proud because this was my first ever award by the town. And all the townspeople told me, you are very great. So I was so proud of that.
Then Onuma shows me another photo. It's a few months after the accident, and no one is left living in the town. This time, he's wearing a protective Tyvek suit and mask. He's standing below the sign, holding up a placard that changes his slogan to Atomic Power, Energy for a Destructive Future.
I made the wrong slogan, but I'm glad that I realized it's wrong before I died.
Although Onuma has regrets about the slogan he created, he fought with town officials about taking down the sign.
I said keep the sign as it is, as a kind of teaching tool. It should remain as part of the bitter memory of the town.
The sign came down, and today, Onuma is committed to renewable energy. He has a new business promoting solar panels, which he has installed on his own house. He wants his young sons, born after the accident, to live in a nuclear-free world.
I'm preparing my children's future, one in which they don't have to rely on nuclear power.
Immediately after the accident, Japan shut down all of its nuclear plants, which had provided 30% of the nation's energy. Natural gas imports increased. Although nuclear power remains unpopular among the Japanese people, the government supports atomic energy. It says it needs nuclear if it's going to cut carbon emissions. Now, reactors at five plants have gone back online. But Onuma says he won't stop pushing for renewable energy.
I feel that I'm a living witness to what went wrong. So I myself become the banners and the signs to show that. I am the witness.
The last photo he shows me has him again in a protective Tyvek suit. He stands at the town's main street, where the steel archway that bore his slogan, Atomic Power, Bright Energy Future, is now gone. This time, he holds a placard with a question mark and says, the past cannot be erased. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
Reporting for That Story was made possible with a grant from the International Center for Journalists. And for more on nuclear energy and stories, videos, and firsthand accounts about Three Mile Island, go to PA Post at papost.org. Thanks for joining us on the Allegheny Front. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at Allegheny Front. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of our show. I'm Carol Holsapple.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, and the Park Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of conservation. State Impact Pennsylvania is a collaboration among the Allegheny Front, WESA, WITF, and WHYY to cover the Commonwealth's energy economy.